We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor. And the gentleman in the studio with me today is not a senior citizen. Nick, good to have you here with us. Nick is a young man that just got his master's degree, and he is a man that God has done a special work in his heart and life. When I first came here 3 years ago, he was doing an internship at Brookside and did one, I think, Nick, then the following summer?
I've done two, yes.
Okay, and so we had the privilege of working together those two summers, but it has been a real joy to watch Nick not just work in the summertime when he was on intern staff, so to speak, but Nick, you've been working in the church for a long time.
Yeah. Basically, the first summer of my internship was the first year of my involvement at Brookside. Before then, I was just a come on Sunday morning to one of the services, possibly come to one of the Sunday school options, and then head home.
Mm-hmm.
So my first real involvement with Brookside was the internship,
okay.
And that was when the pastoral staff had said, you know, we want to take you under our wing, have you go to school at Maranatha, but let us train you. And so that was my first involvement, and I really haven't stepped out of that role since then.
That is great. Tell us what types of things you have done other than the internship. What type of things do you do around the church?
Well, I spent most of my time with the teens.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last place I wanted to go to when my role of intern was...
The last place you wanted to go to?
It was. It was
okay.
It was maybe what I had expected for myself, and so I thought, you know, that shouldn't be where I should go.
Okay.
I should do something that will challenge me and stretch me because everyone would kind of expect me to be with the teens.
Okay.
And so I said, you know, I really don't want to be there. I really don't like teens to begin with. I don't know how to relate to them. I don't know how to talk to them. I don't know what they enjoy. And because of that, I was like, kind of keep me more towards the adult ministry.
Oh, or the nursery, right.
Well, the further younger you go, the more uncomfortable I get.
Okay.
So I was in charge then of being with the teens, but then also my second internship, they gave me the responsibility of revamping the entire kids' church program. So it got tougher and tougher as I went.
Wow, you went down in age.
Yes.
You really begin to wonder, what is God preparing you for?
Absolutely. Yeah, I knew that there was more than just the summers there as importance. Because while I was doing my internship, it was coinciding with my master's degree out at Maranatha Baptist Bible College.
Mm-hmm.
And the education there was really good. I enjoyed it. But it was missing the part where I was getting involved and seeing the application of everything I was learning. And when I started to do the internship with Brookside, being under the pastoral staff there,
mm-hmm.
and getting the chance to begin teaching and begin discipling and begin to really get my hands dirty in the ministry, so to speak.
Right.
That was when I realized, you know, this is what I've been looking for. And all the thoughts I'd had about full-time ministry, which I had felt called to be into,
okay.
this is when I started to see this might be what it looks like.
So was it something that had been in your heart for quite some time, maybe back when you were a child?
The first time that I thought maybe the Lord is calling me into full-time ministry, it wasn't even a thought of maybe the Lord is calling me into full-time ministry. That thought that I had came retrospectively, where I looked back and I remembered a time when I was in junior high, and I remember looking at my youth pastor as he was sharing the gospel with us on a Wednesday night, and I thought to myself, I could never, ever do that. I could never use words to share my faith with other people.
Right.
I'll just be that guy that I'll have a good testimony. People will see by my actions I'm a Christian, but I will not be the one who will share the gospel with my mouth.
So what you're saying, Nick, is that folks that are listening to us this morning can be encouraged.
Absolutely.
Because many of them may feel exactly the way you felt, like, oh, I could never do that.
Absolutely. I was paralyzed by fear at the thought of going up to my friends, even the friends that I knew well and who knew me,
mm-hmm.
and who knew I was a Christian.
Right.
But to start defining my faith to them was a thought that petrified me. And so I said I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started going through growing up, that was when I was living in Illinois. When I moved to Wisconsin and started going to youth group here, then the Lord began working in my heart through different opportunities of hearing missionaries and saying, you know, maybe this might be something I want to do. But my own desires at that time were to make a lot of money to have a successful job.
Right.
And the church was the farthest thing I wanted to delve into full time.
It's kind of what you did on Sunday morning, basically.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed the church. I always enjoyed going and listening to the sermons, mm-hmm. singing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And my life was devoted to the Lord.
Okay.
Just not completely. I was obedient to him, but not in everything he wanted me to do, only in what I thought were the easy things.
What influence did Sunday school teachers and youth workers and Awana workers, what influence did they have on your life concerning what God was preparing you to be into?
Looking back, I've had, you know, a few different youth pastors from moving around,
mm-hmm.
and the first youth pastor I had, I remember his involvement in my life. He took an interest in the things that I had interests in, and he allowed his life to kind of coincide with mine even when it wasn't convenient for him. He invited me over to his house. He played the basketball games, the baseball games with me.
Right.
And he just showed me that he was a guy who cared about me,
mm-hmm.
and that was important for me. But then when I got into senior high, when I moved to Wisconsin, my youth pastor at the church here was a guy who really began to develop in me what a life of prayer is supposed to look like.
Oh, okay.
And we did some very unique things that I don't see a whole lot of youth groups doing now. And we would meet once a week at 5 in the morning during the school year to get together and pray for an hour.
Hmm.
I remember it being a small group because not many people wanted to wake up.
Sure, right.
But through that and through prayer retreats, retreats with the youth group dedicated solely to spending time with the Lord in extended periods of time.
Right.
It taught me how to pray. And that's something that I've held in high esteem for a long time.
And we're talking to quite a few folks, I'm sure, who are Sunday school teachers and children's workers and youth workers and, you know, that type of a thing. That can be a testimony. That can be an encouragement to them that you never know to whom you are ministering. You have no clue. Don't give up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was not always excited to be in the room praying. I was not always excited to be at the retreat. I'd rather spend that time playing games or on Wednesday mornings sleeping in before school. But it developed in me, number one, a love for it. It developed that. It didn't just happen naturally.
Right.
But also it taught me how to actually pray. It taught me how to go before the Lord rather than casually, indifferently, and you know, in other ways where it just was a routine. This taught me, wow, I can really take some time and go before the Lord with some real needs, and he will listen. And that was important for me.
Nick, whose motivation was it to get you to that prayer meeting? Was it your mother's or your dad's or yours by itself, or exactly how did that work?
Well, certainly my mom and my dad would have had the desire to have me go. They have trained me up very well. They have been some of the most faithful people to Christ that I know to this day. With all the people I've spent time with in the church, I look at the upbringing from my parents as being invaluable as far as that goes. But I remember to come to the prayer meetings, it was my youth pastor saying, this is something that we'd really like you to do.
Okay.
And I loved the youth pastor. I loved our youth group. And when he invites me something, absolutely, I'll say, let's do it.
You know, you're going back to just a testimony of his life touching your life in spare time, not during the Sunday school lesson or not during the youth meeting, but in spare time, he was rubbing shoulders with you. It reminds me of the Bible verse that says that Jesus chose his disciples to be with him and that he might send them forth. And obviously, the first part of getting us ready to be sent forth is to be with him. It's just rubbing shoulders, it's talking, it's cutting up, it's just spending time together, but it's learning what the other person is like when it comes to just living the Christian life. That's what the youth pastor did in your life.
Yes, and I have definitely seen that influence directly influencing the way that I approach now the teens that I minister to. You know, I'm loving going to their athletic events. I'm loving going to their graduation parties, going to their houses for lunches and dinners.
Mm-hmm.
The time that is outside of small groups and youth group and church, those are the times where I really feel I get to know them the best, where they open up,
right,
and where we have time to grow.
Because they say, He cares enough about me to come to what I'm involved in. I'm going to begin caring enough about him and what he is involved in. It's kind of like Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and it says that Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he was done, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the amazing thing, Nick, is to me that God wants us to learn to pray, but we have to be taught to pray. Now, that seems so odd because prayer is just talking, but yet it's not. There's more to prayer than just talking. But they saw, I think, that it was through his prayer time that everything changed. Perspectives were different. And I think they realized, okay, we could ask Jesus to teach us to teach or to teach us to preach, but now let's ask him to teach us to pray. And what a testimony of the youth pastor here in Wisconsin that did that exact thing. And your prayer life has been impacted ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So anyways, back to a call to ministry and how I've developed into this position now. Once I got to the youth group here and developed the prayer life and wanted to do more with the church, more full-time-ish, I went to Bible school for my undergrad down in Illinois. And I went there to play baseball, and that's why I was at the Christian University. If I had a big scholarship offer somewhere else, I wouldn't have gone. And my first major was pre-med. It was biology. I was looking to be a doctor.
I see. That's where all the money was going to roll in.
That's where the money was going to be. That's okay. Where everything that I'd always wanted was going to be.
Gotcha.
And I spent 1 year doing that, and I struggled. Grades, for the first time for me, were extremely difficult. I worked extremely hard in the classes, and there was no fruit from it at all.
Wow.
And I struggled, and I couldn't understand why. And at the end of the year, not because my grades were struggling, it's just it felt very unfulfilling
at
that point. So the Lord was grabbing a hold of my heart, bringing me back to some of those things where I said, you know, I could never become a full-time minister. I could never share the gospel. That was when I called my parents and said, I'm switching my major to Christian education.
Right. Well, Nick, our time is up, so we're going to have to continue this next time. But it's exciting to see how God, the God of change, can even change our hearts toward that which he is calling us to be and do. And I'm excited to hear the next time how the Lord did that, because we have numbers of young people that we are praying that God will make their hearts tender as well. You may be praying the same thing, my friend, as you're listening to us today. Don't give up praying, because God can do that which you and I cannot do. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.